Good old mercy. I'm just glad that everyone comes together as a church family and just loves on each other like that. That's so awesome and so cool. So really excited for things going on in our church. It was really cool to hear last week from Seeds and just what they've got on their hearts right now, what they're planning to do. Sounds so amazing. I know I'm signing up for that bad boy, and we'll probably be going to Fiji myself on that trip. So that'll be really cool to experience and just kind of undertake all that. I've been on mission trips before, and they're super exciting. I remember going on a mission trip one time to Mexico, and it was amazing experience. Just took me out of my comfort zone for sure. I was a high schooler, so I was very self-absorbed at this time. And just caught up in things and just stuck on stuff like that. And being exposed to what was going on in Mexico was just a crazy thing for me. A lot of poverty there, and we were in like the poorest place in Tijuana, building houses for the poor. And on this trip, we went as our church went with many other churches from around Calgary and Edmonton area. And it was really cool to see as this massive convoy of three buses going down to Mexico, we were all just trailing each other. We drove 24/7, so we had like these backup drivers that would sleep while the other one's driving, and we would just go, and it was miserable. And we're stuck in these buses and just cruising along. And when we get to Mexico, you know, you're on these campsites, and for like a teenager, showering is very important. Getting that water on you is like key because, you know, you're at that stage in life where you're kind of smelly and you need the shower, right? And so when we get down there, all that we have set up for showers are like these milk cartons hanging up in the air. And in order to get these to work, you had to kind of turn this nozzle that was broken half the time anyways, and it would just drizzle this kind of dirty Mexico water on you because it wasn't filtered. I remember getting some in my ear and got a massive ear infection. It was miserable. And on the way back, we kind of had like this tainted water smell to us. So on the way back, we're all cruising in this bus and we're not stopping for showers or anything. This thing stank horribly. The bus was disgusting. We were unclean. We were just gross. It was nasty. Oof, I can still smell it. And you know, as teenage boys, all we had was like this deodorant spray that everyone oversprayed. And it mixed with the body odor and the nastiness. And it just created for a nasty, disgusting experience. As we were not clean with water at that point in time. We were just dirty. And so as we look at that, we're going to go into John 3 here and look at what the Bible says about water and cleanliness and the Holy Spirit in our lives and the aspect that has on our lives. There's a story, and it goes like this. There's a young Arab who was proceeding down the road on a donkey. And he comes upon a small bird. It was a sparrow. And it was just lying on its back in the road. There was the sparrow. It was just small, scrawny, and its two thin legs were pointed skyward. And the Arab, at first glance, looked at this sparrow and was like, wow, that is one dead bird. And might I add, that is the only kind of bird that I really appreciate. So, excuse me, I'm not a big bird fan, as you know. So when he found this bird, He saw that it was alive as he came upon it for closer inspection. And he gets down from his donkey and goes forward to speak to this bird. Are you all right? He asked. Yes, the sparrow answered. Then what are you doing lying on your back with your legs pointed up at the sky? And this is what the sparrow says in response. Haven't you heard the rumor, the sparrow asked? They say that heaven is going to fall. If it does, said the Arab, surely you don't think you're going to hold it up with those two scrawny legs. And the bird looked at him with a solemn face for a moment and then retorted, one does the best one can. Wow. It's a funny story, and we can easily laugh at it. It's an illustration of humanity and how we feel we can hold off the wrath of divine judgment of God using our own achievements or skill sets. And we've kind of fleshed that out over the last few weeks. And we're going to turn once again to John 3, verses 3 to 5, if you're all there ready to go. Starting in verse 3, it says this. We know that Nicodemus is talking to Jesus at this point in time. And in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit." As I said, as we've gone through in the last few weeks, we know what the Bible is telling us and that we are not capable of holding off the divine judgment that is coming our way. We do know through this passage that we as people must be born again. We know through what Jesus has to say, we have to be born again, and we're going to analyze exactly what that means today. See, in the passage, we see that what Nicodemus is asking as he starts questioning humanity's ability to be born again. These are all questions that we would probably ask ourselves if Jesus said something like that, "Hey, be born again." Right? If we didn't have the Bible telling us and kind of our understanding in this generation of what that means, we'd be looking at Jesus being like, "Hey, be born again. That's a good one, right? Like, I don't get it. I'm supposed to go back into my mother's womb?" And we'd probably have those questions. We'd be saying, "How is it possible? How can I be born again?" And Jesus, in his very interesting way of responding, is like, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And in verse 7, if we read on further, he says it once again, "You must be born again." And so we need to understand that this is a key statement that he is making here, that we must be born again, stating that something isn't right and something needs to be changed. If we look at the word again, we're going to analyze the word again at this point in time. And if we look at it, there's two different Greek words that are attached to it. The first one is palin. I probably don't have the pronunciation down, so you'll have to excuse me. But the first one is palin, and it's an act of repetition. Simple act of repetition. The next one is anothen. And this is also an act of repetition, but it has something added on to it. So it's not just an act of repetition in the way that palin is. There's something special about anothen. Anothen can also be translated into the word from above. And we see that translation in John 3:31, where it says, "The one who comes from above is above all." So this above is pointing towards heaven. And in John's writing here, we see the use of anothen instead of palin. And so it's suggesting that the new birth is supernatural in its origin, and that divine origin is found in God. This new birth Jesus and Nicodemus are discussing is a complicated one, and it's one that's from above. It's not one that's from below. It's not a birth from your parent. It is one that is brought about by God. Once again, when we look at palin, we know that it's a repetition of an act, and an anothen is a repetition, but the difference with an anothen is that the source is the same as it was in the first place. So let me put it to you this way. Say we have a time for just playing music at one point in time up here, right? And we call Doris back up here to play piano because she does an amazing job, and people keep calling her back to play as it is anyways, right? Because why not? She's amazing. And so we get her up here, and I'm standing up here with her, and she plays an amazing piece of Tchaikovsky. Just an amazing one. And the right thing that usually happens in a concert is the statement of, "Play it again. Play it again, Sam." Right? And so the statement, "Play it again," will be made. But with palin, the idea behind it is there's a repetition that occurs. I could actually be the one that plays it for you instead of Doris. And so I jump on the piano and you'd be like, "Oh, no, Tchaikovsky, what happened, right? Because I don't know piano. But with the idea of a note, then, it's something where the person who originally played the piece is going to play it again. And so Doris would get back on here, play her Tchaikovsky, and then when you say play it again, it would be her playing it again. You wouldn't have to put up with me playing it, and everybody would rejoice and be super happy because they're like, yeah, Doris can really play a mean piano. Brad cannot. And so that's the same thing that's being talked about here, is there's this origin that's occurring in this birth. And that origin that's talked about by Jesus in this birth is the one that's coming from God. You see, he originally created us in the very beginning. And now he's providing us with the birth yet again. In Genesis 2:7, we know that he's our original creator. It says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And Jesus is telling us we need to be born again. And that source is not this, like our mother, our earthly mother, but it's the source of all creation. It is God up above, the one who created us in the beginning, the originator of us all. That is the anothen. That is the again that is being talked about right here. It's the one that comes from God. It's the source from God. That is where our new birth is going to find its beginning. And it's kind of cool when you look at it. Some would even say in our new birth, we are finding our way back to being the image bearers of God. So when there was the fall and with Adam and Eve, we distorted our image, we distorted ourselves, and we kind of perverted the image that we were created in God. And by going back to him, by having this new birth, we're now reestablishing the way that we were created in the first place. And we see that Nicodemus, at this point in time, is a man that needs to have a fresh impartation of the spiritual life. He has to be a new creation. He has to be born again. And it's something so simple, yet it's so hard at times to grasp as well, as we would just be like Nicodemus questioning exactly how that functions. And Jesus, like, it has to come from God. It cannot come from you. There is no accomplishment, there is no intellectual deed that you can actually do that takes you further. And like I say, we broke that down over the last few weeks. But this is just Jesus is saying to, and this is what Jesus says to us. And he's telling us, hey, you guys, you need to be born again. Without that new birth, you are very lost. You're like a Nicodemus. You can have all these great accomplishments. You can be a brilliant person. But you don't have eternal life set before you. And we're going to look at how Nicodemus then asks, how can a man be born again? Right? And that would be a question that, once again, we would also continue on with asking as we're like, yeah, that's nice, Jesus, but how exactly does that happen? And in verse 5, here's what Jesus says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And Jesus is telling us that the new birth is not what Nicodemus has understood as he expounds on what the new birth now is. The new birth is one that is of water and of the Spirit. And sometimes that can be kind of crazy for us to kind of grasp and understand. We're like, great, that's nice. What does being born of the water look like? And what does being born of the Spirit look like? And we're going to analyze more of the water aspect today than the Spirit, which we'll do on another day. And we're going to start off with saying that the new source of the new birth is God, and we know that. I've already cleared that out. And this being born of the water and Spirit is something that is so hard to come by with our human minds at times. What could be meant by being born of water? You see, some might actually say that the water and physical birth go hand in hand as water accompanies a childbirth, correct? We all know that. There's water that occurs in childbirth. I remember when Isaiah was born and, the night we're kind of gathered in the hospital sitting around. We're actually just waiting for Michelle to get a shot for some sort of infection. And then all of a sudden, she like bent in a certain fashion. And she's like, uh-oh. I was like, great. What's uh-oh mean? And she's like panicking because water is coming out. And I was like, being a first-time father, I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but that doesn't seem right. I don't think that should happen. And it's 23 weeks in, right? So we're panicking. We're freaking out. And I just kind of stood there in shock. And Michelle and Leanne are yelling at me to get a nurse. And I'm like, what's a nurse, right? And finally, I go into the back room and I grab someone. I'm like, my wife's water broke. And they knew that birth was occurring right there. A physical birth was going to take place. They could not mystically create another water bubble inside of Michelle. So we knew that there was a birth taking place. But this is not the water that we're looking at, although some might think that. You know, water and physical birth, they are something that go on hand in hand, but that's not this case here. Water maybe could then mean the baptism. This is something that we've kind of fleshed out a little bit, as baptism is something that is in John quite a bit. John the Baptist is running around talking about baptizing people, and we know that he's doing a great job of it. But he's usually telling people to repent first and then be baptized. So that's probably not the one that it's talking about either. I think, and a lot of commentaries actually state this too, that there's kind of a double meaning that comes into play here, as water holds two meanings at this point in time. A, water is something that cleanses us. As I told about the story, as we're in Mexico, smelly teenagers, and we're washing ourselves with dirty water, we're not getting very much cleaner, are we? It's just dirt with dirt. We're cleaning dirt with dirt. And so there's like a cleansing factor, though, that water has. This is clean water that is being talked about here. And we obviously shower or bathe because we know water is something that cleanses us. Something that cleans. And in a metaphorical sense, it cleans our soul as well, as the Holy Spirit works with that. And water is also a metaphor that is actually used to describe the Word of God. It's a metaphor for the Bible. In Ephesians 5:22-26, it says this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word. I'm not even going to get started on the whole husbands aspect there and what it really means. We'll uncover that one day. It's a powerful statement. But the water, the word is the water that's cleansing at this point in time. The word is what is cleansing. And it's amazing to know that God, that Jesus is having this double meaning thing here. As he's saying, hey, it cleanses, but the word also is something that continues to grow and develop within you. James 1:18 says this: he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. You see, our new birth is a product of his word. He loves us so much that he gives us the way to eternal life. He literally keeps giving us an out. Every lance that we look at, every time we start thinking about something, God just keeps providing everything that we need in overabundance. Oh, what do we need? Oh, you need more of word. You need more of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us that. And we're here struggling at times when we get upset or disappointed. We're like, where are you, God? And it's just like, man, I've got my word out there for you. I've got everything that you need. I'm ready to clean you. I'm ready to make you pure and holy again. I'm ready to bring you back. Unfortunately, our sinful fallen nature has pried our humanity away from the clutches of God. Think about that. As he wants to hold on to us tightly. We're like the toddler who like sees something across the room and we like rip away from our parent because we want to go look at something else. And he's just like, I want you back. I just want you to stay with me. He provides us with the keys to reestablishing that hold that he wants to have on us, though. He gives us what we need. And it says this in John 15:3. It says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. God has given us that. And so Jesus is telling us in John 3 that God's Spirit and the Word of God are the means by which our new birth are accomplished, by the way that we are cleansed through His Word and through His Spirit. This should really be an eye-opener for us. It should be a sign that, like, we should be approaching our Word and the Holy Spirit in a different fashion. You see, it's something that we tend to push aside. The Holy Spirit is someone we push aside and we just ignore. And we're like, oh, that's nice. You're tapping on my shoulder. That's nice. I'm ignoring you. And we're going to really pour into that in a few weeks and look at exactly who the Holy Spirit is. But we're looking at the Word of God right now. And some people, like I say, I've talked about before, we have dust on the covers of our Bibles. We don't even open it half the time. I don't, even if you have this and you pull this out and open up the Bible app, that is fantastic. But I wonder how often that occurs in our daily journey as time after time, scheduled event fills up. And we forget that God just wants to embrace us once again. Jesus is telling us that our birth, our growth, our sustained Spirit-filled lives come from His Word and His Holy Spirit. God wants us to be in His Word. Something that's a part of our spiritual armor. It's something that we take into battle as we head out into this world. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says this, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached, save those who believe. You see, we need to know our word because we need to be preaching it to those around. It's all well and good, like I say, for me to get up here and talk and preach. It's what I do. I love doing it. But we in our communities need to be doing that as well. We need to be in our words and understanding so that we can pour forth God's Spirit upon other people. The Bible wants us to do it. God wants us to do it, even in the foolishness of our preaching. How crazy awesome is that? We could look like fools. We might even say the wrong thing sometimes while talking about God. But He just wants us to do it. He wants us to be in His Word. He wants us to be talking about who He is. You see, in the Bible, it's so cool how it even talks about itself as something really amazing. And when we turn to passages like Psalm 119, 105, we see that your word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path. In Jeremiah 23, 29, His word is fire and a hammer. 1 Peter and Hebrews will talk of His word like milk and strong meat. And, excuse me. And in Hebrews and 1 Peter, we see, sorry, that's what it was, but in Ephesians 6:17, it's a sword. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it's a mirror and a branch grafted to our bodies. In James 1:21, and these are just amazing descriptors of God's word, and it should be things that draw us into and be like, yeah, I need to be more in God's word. Because that's exactly how God sees what He put down for us. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's milk, it's amazing stuff for us to come to. It's not just a book that we need to just lay out there and make sure it's in good shape. It is something we should approach far more often. The Word is something that helps cleanse, helps us understand how to be Spirit-filled, helps us understand what it means to be born anew. In 1 Peter, we're just going to analyze 1 Peter chapter 1 a little bit here, and it paints an amazing picture of how the Word impacts a person so they are changed forever and become a part of God's family. In 1 Peter 1:18 to 19, it says this, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You see, Christ's death is what gives us access to new lives. It gives us access to this new birth. It sets us apart as His blood redeems us as people. And then next, Peter will go on to say in verse 21, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. It's your faith and hope are in God. And so not only does he redeem us, but now his birth is bringing about our new birth occurs through faith in Jesus Christ, and it's being provided by God himself, our faith. In verses 23 to 25, it says this, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. How amazing is that? Once again, it's pointing to the fact that our accomplishments, our talents, whatever it is, they all wither and disappear. All I have to do is look at my grandfather and just see how age has caught up with him. And a once spry, wise man has now become someone who struggles with even the simplest of thoughts, struggles to even get some of his clothes on in the morning. And for me, that just points out exactly what the Bible's talking about. All this that we have, everything that we have, our homes, our cars, everything that we treasure so much, just withers and dies at some point of time anyways. Cars rust. Yet there's God saying, hey, you know what? You have me. You have my word. This is enduring. This is things that carry on forever. And you can now carry on forever if you just turn to me. It's God's gift to us. We're given new lives at his expense, and it's all through his grace. God is the Father of us, and we are his children. And we are born again by means of his Spirit and his Word, as we're cleansed through water. And his Word purifies and cleanses us. It's like that idea of a seed or a flower, you know, when you plant it. And what do you want to do with that seed or flower? You obviously want to give it growth, nutrition, water, all the good stuff in order to make it rise up. And that's exactly what we need to do. And that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. More of the Holy Spirit. More of God's word. None of this legalistic stuff. So the question then, Nicodemus, is what happens when a man or woman is born again? And here's what happens. God begins by planting in the heart of a person faith. Faith is planted. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is the start that God has planted in us. And then God sends forth his word, which in turn opens our blind eyes through the work of the Holy Spirit so that we may see the true God. See, through his work, through God's holy work, we have a new spiritual life, a new life which has its origin in God. You know, that both on the physical and spiritual aspect. Think about it. Back in the day, you had this life-changing experiences for people like Abram, who became Abraham. You have Simon, who becomes Peter. Saul, who becomes Paul. All of them had crazy life experiences and life changes because of the Holy Spirit came upon them. So amazing. Such a simple thing could impact people in such an amazing fashion. Just turning towards God is something that can make amazing people who head out on missions, who love on people, who make sure others know about Jesus Christ. That's what I love about the early church so much, is when you look at them, immediately upon finding out about who Jesus is, they're so impassioned by it and so desireful to get that message out there to people. You know, they're like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to tell people. Paul jumps on ships and he's heading out to like all these crazy places in Corinth and Thessalonica, and he's going everywhere. Peter and the other disciples, they're cruising around the Jerusalem area, letting people know of who Jesus is. I'm like, man, I need to get my heart back in a space like that. I need to be a passionate person like that and look around and be like, I don't care about the perception people are going to have on me anymore. I don't care. I've got God's word. I've got his cleaning Holy Spirit in me, and I need to start getting this out there to people. I need this message to come upon them. It's right here. I can hand it over to people. I was able to hand out a few Bibles recently, and I love doing that. When people just walk up to me and like, hey, can I have God's word? And I'm like, absolutely. Here, take mine. And it's amazing to do things like that. And it's sad that like it comes to a point where, you know, like you kind of got to be, those are moments that really excite you versus, hey, why am I not doing this more often? Why am I not getting this word out to people more often? I know there's like this amazing website that offers discounts for like super cheap Bibles. I'm like, oh, I'm going to jump all over that and get some super cheap Bibles so I can spread it to people. And that's what I love even about things like Seeds, as they're heading out to Fiji to spread the word out there and let people know the impact that God has on our lives. As it's a changing one, it's one that makes us completely different. He does it through his word. He does it through his Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is say thank you and take it all in. We don't have to be all stars. We don't have to be amazing people to have received this. But I think we do have to go out there and let people know about what we did receive. You see, if we're really changed and transformed by Jesus, it's going to have a different look to it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. That means that we're new. We're this new creation, so this newness needs to do something different in us rather than just sitting contently as we were before in our own little worlds, just desiring to impact our worlds as great as we can. There has to be something more. And that's why Jesus is like, yeah, there totally is. Be born again, water and spirit. And then he kind of lays out, even in Matthew, right at the end there, is he's just like, go out there and make disciples of nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're given the tools with his word. We just like to take little snippets and little verses rather than combining the whole thing to make it make sense. Let's look at the whole word and say, how can this impact us today? How can we be people of change? Because we're definitely supposed to be new people. It's simple. We're not entering God's family through achievement or intellect. The work is done by God and God alone. We see it in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we see it in the born-again believer who's filled with God's Spirit, who's engaged in God's word and cleansed by the water. God makes it so we are born again. This is something that like you desperately need in your life. I highly, highly recommend talking to people that you know that are deep into Jesus. Come talk to me, come talk to people, the elders, amazing people of this church who are deeply rooted in Jesus, and find yourself encountering him and being born again. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do, and for your Holy Spirit. And we just pray that you bless this community and you bless our hearts and you bless our actions. And you give us the Spirit and a desire to reach out to others and to reach into our word and be cleansed, Lord. We just thank you for giving us new birth. As you provide it all, you originally gave us life, and then you give us life once again. So we thank you for that, Jesus. your holy name we pray. Amen. I'll call the worship team up. And super great today, by the way. You guys are doing amazing. Joel on the guitar. Thank you. Sounding great. And Doris on the piano.